the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right, everybody. First round is ending up. I'm going to bring on John Middlecoff, former NFL scout, for about 25, 30 minutes. I want to talk about the Bears move, the Jets trade up, Patriots get Mac Jones. Let me start with Trey Lance. So long story short, I live in L.A. Trey Lance was working out in L.A. About 3 weeks ago for the draft. And ran into Trey Lance, really, really impressed with him as a kid. Good size, looks you in the eyes, really humble, really thoughtful. And after meeting him, it's funny, I sent a text to a couple of GMs that I thought may have the chance to get him. One of them, John Lynch. And I said, hey, John, and by the way, when I do this, I know it has no influence on the general managers, but John Lynch is a buddy of mine. And so I thought, I'll just send him this. I'm sure he has it. I know it's not going to influence him, but you know, you take care of your friends. John was always great to me, is always great to me. So I text John. I said, hey, I just met Trey Lance. I don't know what you're doing with the number three pick, but I'm like, blah, 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 blah. Totally impressed, humble. What a great kid. And John's like, thanks, Colin. I don't hear anything. Then after the third pick tonight, I get a couple of fist bumps texted to me by John Lynch. So I know I had no influence, but nonetheless, it made me laugh. John's a great guy, and I actually think it's the right pick. I just don't believe in a division with Russell Wilson twice a year, Matt Stafford twice a year, Kyler Murray twice a year. I'm going to have Mac Jones, B-arm, C-athlete, one-year starter in college. I don't buy it. Trey Lance is the guy for me. Speaking of that, John Middlecoff knows the Bay Area well. He knows the Niners and the Raiders as well as anybody. So this is just what I heard. Lynch was more Trey Lance. Kyle was more Mac. The scouts kind of leaned in John's direction. And in the end, Trey Lance blew them away in the pro day. So, John, your reaction to what the Niners did with Trey Lance?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been despised, you know, with 49ers fans. And, it didn't make any sense. But ultimately, it's a moot point because they took the other guy. I think the one thing that really stands out is you text him with Lynch. I've known Adam Peters. They're kind of his right-hand guy for a long time. Clearly, we just have a lot of intel on the type players Kyle likes, personality-wise. Yeah. Character is a big, big deal. You know, I wouldn't say it's quite Belichick, you know, where it's a very, very, like, Mac Jones, like, perfect off the field, just historically what the Patriots are into. But I was around Andy Reid, like, a little more open-minded, you know. Andy, the Al Davises, like, you know, they lean talent. Kyle is very, very rigid. And John Lynch, I mean, I think he leans that way too, Stanford guy. What stood out to me about Trey Lance is he was a Condon guy, a CAA guy, and they also have Mac Jones. And historically, you know, it's the Staffords, it's the Mannings, it's the Breezes, it's the Alex Smiths. And when I saw that they got Trey Lance, and I've been trying to get him on podcasts and, you know, talk to this guy, that really stood out to me. I went, wow, this guy is with a crew that really values character. And then the physical attributes, he lost to Mahomes in the Super Bowl, Kyle did. Obviously, Brady got him the 1 year. When he had Matt Ryan, who was really good, Brady's just dramatically better. And then this year on Monday Night Football, when their team, you know, the Niners didn't miss the playoffs this year by seven games. They missed it by two. And down the stretch, they handled the Rams, beat the brakes off the Cardinals. I mean, they don't need – I mean, obviously they would love Aaron Rodgers, their quarterback, but they just need solid quarterback play. But Josh Allen on a Monday Night Football game destroyed them. And Kyle had comments after the game basically like, I love this guy coming out, and just when you sit there on the sideline and watch this talent, like, to beat this guy, you have to have a great player on your side. And they talked on Monday, and they said, ideally, what you would want is Drew Brees – that can move like Lamar Jackson. Now, obviously, that's unfair to even think that Trey Lance can ever become that, but I think the character and the intelligence, from what I've heard of Trey Lance, on top of the physical attributes, that is a risk. I mean, anytime Josh Allen was a big risk, but I, as a fan of the draft and someone who's lived it, I respect them taking a massive swing for the fence, a calculated risk, taking a high character guy. But he hasn't played that much, Colin, and he's not coming from a big school. I mean, he's coming from, now you can argue they've produced three NFL quarterbacks in 6 years. Carson Wentz, Cooper Rush, and this guy. That's pretty impressive. Or Easton Stick, excuse me.
Yeah. Let me talk about the other Bay Area team, formerly the Raiders, now the Las Vegas Raiders. I thought they were the first team to reach with Alex Leatherwood. It's funny. I was hearing a lot of the ESPN analysts say, well, he's got a lot of potential. There's a great ceiling. And my takeaway is, when's the last Saban player out of Bama that didn't get close to his potential at Alabama? I mean, Nick's pretty good at squeezing all that potential out. I don't think he's terribly strong. I think he's an inside offensive lineman in the NFL. I haven't loved their picks in the first round. I think Leatherwood was available in the second round. I thought it was a reach. I really, and I don't like saying that because he'll start in the NFL, but boy, I thought it was a reach.
Yeah, I think sometimes I immediately text an SEC scout. He's like, I like Leatherwood, but I had multiple offensive linemen on the board that are still on the board that I would have taken over the guy. You know, and you look at the division, that Denver didn't overthink it. They just took Patrick Surtain, a guy that, you know, at Alabama, boom, plug and play, ready to rock and roll. Look at the Chargers. They end up with a tackle, boom, plug and play, ready to roll. The Raiders, back-to-back years, Damon Arnett last year, it's like, whoa, you go in Ohio State. One thing with Mayock and Gruden these last several years, it's basically Ohio State, Bama, or Clemson. That's just the way they lean, which I got no issue with. But that's not the way the draft works. Sometimes a guy from Virginia Tech can be better. I think the risk, Colin, is that they're comparing it to their recent tackle, Colton Miller, who was much more of a projection, who then lived up to it. But sometimes, like, I don't want to say they got lucky there, but that was a pretty big swing, and it worked out. And they keep taking huge kind of stretches in some of these outliers instead of just outthink the room here. And what's weird is watching Mayock on TV for a decade plus, he felt very meat and potatoes, nuts and bolts. Like, these aren't his type picks. This does feel a little more Gruden every time they
pick. It does. You know, it was interesting. A team that we're not going to talk a ton about, the Jacksonville Jaguars, but we now, with Urban Meyer, I think we're both keenly interested.
Yeah.
So you get your franchise quarterback, then they go and get Travis Etienne. By the way, I had two GMs tell me that they could make a compelling argument he'll be a better pro than Najee Harris because he's a better pass catcher. He fumbles a little more, but he's a very good pass catcher. So you got your running back, you got your quarterback. I think it's going to be very interesting. As we tape this right now, I am waiting for Tampa's pick. And if you get it, tell me.
Joe Tryon from Washington, the kind of outside backer guy.
So that means with the first pick tomorrow, you could take Liam Eichenberg, the tackle from Notre Dame. Again, my people love him. Or Landon Dickerson, the center from Alabama. Those are both plug-and-play guys.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Do you think Urban goes with that first pick tomorrow, first three picks, all offensive guys from big schools?
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, that's who he is, right? I mean, that's just his side of the ball where he's always lent. I think the ETN pick makes a lot of sense. You know, definitely at Ohio State, they had powerhouse running backs, and it made it easier on his quarterbacks, who are never as good as this guy. So it immediately just takes a little pressure off. ETN, like Lawrence, high character guy, very talented guy. The one knock I've heard on him is he's a home run hitter in college. He ran like a 4.46 for the scouts that I talked, 4.47 range. It's not like he's running 4.35. Now, right. I like Travis Etienne. He's a big-time player. I got no issue with the pick, but I'm with you. I mean, they could immediately take another. I mean, you take one of those offensive linemen, you got three starters with your three first picks, and the most important player is your quarterback. That division's good. I mean, I saw you tweeting about Tennessee. I like John Robinson. I've known him for a long time. I'm with you. That's a risky pick, getting a guy with a bad back in a division that's really good. Chris Ballard, a little out of his comfort zone this I guess they took Kwity Paye. Never mind.
Kwity Paye.
Yeah, they didn't take the Giants took the wide receiver from so I like that pick. I mean, that division's good. It's going to be, you know, the Texans are going to be terrible, but the Colts are going to be good because we think Wentz is going to bounce back definitely, and the Titans are just a solid run operation. But if the Jags immediately just go from being a 3-2 win team to 7-8, I mean, they're going to factor in.
Let's talk the Jets. So I made my big bold prediction and I put it on Twitter. I put it on my camera because I wanted to put myself out there. So I'm sitting at home and I'm watching the picks and I'm watching the Chargers take Rashawn Slater. And I had talked to Telesco 2 days ago and I said, would you move up to get one of your offensive linemen? And he said, I'm not so sure I'm going to have to move up. These cornerbacks now, they're moving up the draft. We may not have to move up because I knew the Chargers wanted a corner and they wanted a left tackle. We all know that, right? And so when they got Slater, I thought, Telesco told me he loved Elijah Vera Tucker. I thought, God, if I was Joe Douglas, I would move up. And literally the Jets made a trade. So I went on and said, they're going to take Elijah Vera Tucker. I think this is really interesting. So quarterback, interior offensive lineman. So they are aggressive and they move up. The Bears are aggressive and get Justin Davis. But yet the Chargers were patient and got their offensive line. New England was patient and got Mac Jones. And I guess my takeaway was on this, John, there's really a lot of different ways to attack this draft. I love what the Jets did and the Bears. But I also thought New England, so New England, just sat and waited. And Mac Jones, they didn't have, I mean, in the end, didn't Mac Jones get drafted where he should, the fifth quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, I honestly thought if New England didn't take him, he could have tumbled. You know, he might have gone in the mid to late 20s. That was his last spot to not have a free fall down the hill, right? I mean, it was going to get pretty ugly. I'm with you. There's... The great part about the draft, there are multiple ways to do it, right? You can be aggressive like the Niners way early. You can sit there. I thought the Cowboys, how about that? Like the guys they wanted go off the board, and what do? They do a deal with the division rival, but they move back two spots. They still get a stud, and they gain a third-round pick. Like that's a high-level. Jerry's a good GM. Jerry's problem is he re-signs guys when he probably should let them walk. Him picking players is not an issue.
Hey, let's talk Dallas. I know they wanted a corner. My intel was, but the minute they couldn't get him, they're like, all right, let's get the best defensive player. Now, I don't think they have an urgent need at linebacker, but the problem is their linebackers have health issues. So where, if you were a scout for the Cowboys, would you have pushed for Micah? Because they have two, you know, they've got linebackers.
Well, the way I had this player described to me is he can play a role in a 4-3 defense, which they're going to run with Dan Quinn, a better version of what Bruce Irvin was back when Seattle got him with Dan Quinn a decade ago as this stand-up Sam linebacker who can also rush the passer. And the Cowboys just need better players up front, right? Guys that can tackle. Van Der Esch gets hurt a lot, so this guy can go sideline to sideline, but he also brings you pass rush value, and he's just a blue-chip body type. You know, you just get a guy that's 6'4", 6'5", 250, 260 pounds that can run. You need guys like that in the league, hybrid players. Sometimes we try to pigeonhole a guy. If he can do multiple things, if your defensive coordinator is good enough, you're going to be in pretty good shape. This guy was dominant at Penn State 2 years ago. He sat out this year, but in that conference, when it was really good, Ohio State was loaded that year. Wisconsin was really good. Even Harbaugh's team wasn't that bad in 2019. You could argue the Big Ten was arguably the best conference that year. It was right up there 2 years ago. And this guy was a top two or three player in that conference. So it's just, to me, it's a lot of pressure now. Is Dan Quinn use this guy right? Their defense in Atlanta hasn't been really good. So do you feel comfortable with this guy using him correctly? But this guy is a big-time talent. And, yeah, I like what the Eagles did to get up and get aggressive to get their wide receiver. I love my favorite pick of the night. Part of this is luck because the guy fell. I give the Bears a lot of credit.
So let's talk that, because now I was going to say, John, so Ryan Pace is in trouble.
Big time.
I mean, he's getting bad press. I think people like Nagy. There's a lot of doubters on Ryan Pace. You could make the argument that by moving up to get a quarterback, he's going to get 3 to 4 days of great press.
Yeah.
And that if he was a selfish GM, he's like, you know, everybody loves the quarterback. But I actually like it because my takeaway is Dalton is Alex Smith. He understands his role. He can be a mentor. You're not paying him much. If Justin Fields had to learn from somebody outside of Alex Smith, you could argue Andy Dalton is about as good a role model as you could have for a year.
Well, and best case scenario, Fields comes in, just beats him out in training camp. He's just a better player. And Andy knows his role. He just sits behind him. Here's the other thing, though. There are not many general managers that aren't like they're a decade plus. They get the opportunity to take 2 first-round quarterbacks. If me and you were to have been in there and we ran the Bears, I would not have been okay giving Ryan Pace the power to trade future first-round picks to do much. But the moment Fields start plummeting, and this can be overrated, but in the Midwest, Ohio State, Justin Fields, the Bear, that area, that region, think how many Ohio State fans just live in the area. The Bears, I'd say, coming into this draft, of all the big market teams, had to have the lowest rating of fan confidence. I would imagine tonight, tomorrow, it's like jubilation. We got this guy who, I think this guy is getting underrated as a prospect. He's almost 6'4". He's got a big arm. He can run. I know there are some fundamental flaws. These coaches make $8, $10, $11 million now. They're all offensive coaches guy up. You don't think an Andy Reid, a Sean McVay would want to work with this guy? Like, ultimately, Kyle Shanahan went with Trey Lance. Similar. Big, strong, can run. Like, these are the type of guys these coaches want to work with. Now, and the other thing is, he's played a lot. Like, he should be, I don't want to say plug and play. It's a hard transition, but he should have the opportunity to start. It's just an open competition. And if you're a Bears fan, it just breathes some life into the franchise.
All right, football fans, the 2021 draft around the corner. FanDuel is hosting something cool, a free $20,000 mock draft contest. Put on your GM hat. It's fun. Predict just the top 10 picks in the draft, and you have a chance to share $20,000 in prizes. Easy to play. Just make your draft picks, get points for every pick you get right. The person with the most points wins the top prize. And don't worry, if you only nail a few, you could still walk away with a piece of it. Best part of the contest, 100% free to enter. Just download the FanDuel Fantasy app, click on the free to play button, then lock in your picks for the 2021 draft. Follow the action live on draft night. Easy peasy. Age and eligibility restrictions apply.
Well, and also, Tariq Cohen comes back. So they drafted a running back last year. So they got two backs I like.
Yeah.
Their offensive line's okay. It's kind of somewhere between, 17th and 20th. It's okay.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson's great.
Tight end from Notre Dame. Tight end, they got, it's not bad.
Yeah, not bad. So to me, if Justin Fields gives you some sort of dynamic mobility and Matt Nagy's coaching, let's not kid ourselves here. Matt Nagy got Mitch Trubisky to the playoffs twice.
Yeah.
This is a clever play designer. So I look at Chicago. It's amazing what a quarterback can do. I look at Chicago before this draft and I'm like, got it. It's starting to feel hopeless. And tonight I'm like, no. If Tariq Cohen comes back healthy and I get the same guy, it's like, now this offense has some juice.
One thing stands out to me about this quarterback draft, and it was awesome, right? Five guys went in the top 15. The three guys went to perfect spots. I think it's going to be difficult this season for Zach Wilson to look better than Trey Lance, if he plays, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. And we just, it's New York. You and I, a couple weeks ago I was on here, the anger there. All of a sudden, you were taking, obviously Trevor goes one, but you chose this guy over these three. Mac could easily look really good in New England with those guys. If Trey Lance is playing, he's looking good with Kyle. And Fields, maybe he's just one of those like kind of Herberts where just, wow, the league screwed up on this guy. He's good. And all of a sudden, Zach, their team's not any good. I mean, we'll see what they do the next couple days, but they don't have many weapons. And even when you draft weapons, it's not every one of them hits the ground running. Like, it could just be a long season. If someone texted me the other day, a rookie quarterback in that division against Belichick, who's on a mission and pissed off, Flores, who's really good, and Sean McDermott, who's just a high-level coach. Like, the division is tough, Colin. It could just be a long... Zach Wilson could go on to have a good career. this first year, he better be mentally tough because it's going to be a mother. I mean, their team's not good. They reset. And also, what if Sam, they got weapons. Like, what if he's just solid? So then you got, wow, Sam's going to look better than Zach more than likely. It could be a rough starting spot. And as we know, in the Northeast, how you start sometimes, it's hard to shake that. Darnold never could.
Well, no, this is why I like what Joe Douglas did. I think he looked at it because in this draft, corners went earlier than we thought. Corners moved up. Tackles kind of moved back. Penei Sewell was the first good O-lineman taken at seven. So all of a sudden you're sitting there, because Miami, we thought, in Cincinnati could take a tackle. They didn't. And so all of a sudden, once the Chargers got Slater, the first thing I thought is, they got Becton last year at left tackle. They got to protect this kid because they know. They went and got, you know, they went and paid money for Corey Davis at wide receiver, and they need a running back later, which tomorrow, don't be shocked if they don't get North Carolina's running back at the top of the second round. But I really think Joe Douglas thought a lot about what you just said. Darnold's going to work down in Carolina.
Yeah, he's not going to suck.
He's not going to suck.
No chance.
And you can say, I mean, and by the way, I think Joe Douglas likes him. But I really did like the Elijah Vera Tucker move. He's a clean player, because I think they realize Joe Douglas says, listen, we never gave Darnold a chance up front. I'm not going to allow that to happen.
And this is my issue. The thing that really jumped out to me, I like Ja'Marr Chase. I love Jaylen Waddle. To me, the game in the trenches in this modern-day game, it's proven now the last several years you can find good wide receivers in the second and third round. It's easier to play wide receiver than it ever is. It's harder to find good linemen, offense and defense. This draft didn't have elite defensive linemen, right? But it did have a bunch of offensive linemen that are going to be immediate starters. The Dolphins, they still have a tackle need. I understand liking Jaylen Waddle, put him with his teammate. Him and Tua were good together. I would have gone offensive line there. I just would have taken another lineman, build up that line, and taken an offense. Definitely with Cincinnati. Like, I get, same thing, the teammate. Your offensive line is terrible. These teams, I bet if you, Telesco's licking his chops seeing this guy fall. Like, you idiots.
No,
like, what are you guys doing?
I texted him. I'm like, because I asked him within 36 hours. I said, would you move up? And he said, Colin, patience generally plays in your favor.
To me, you move up for quarterbacks or what you think maybe is a once-in-a-generation player. But more often than not, especially when you're drafting relatively high, if you are patient, what Bobby Knight, dumb, loses more games than smart wins. Like, let some of these other people screw it up, right? Just let them kind of screw. And it just, the corners, I thought those were two good picks. Just the Denver and Carolina just went with two top corners. Now, one thing will be interesting is if Justin Fields becomes, you know, a big-time player, both those two teams could have taken him, right? And he went right by him.
So let's go to Denver. So I was a little surprised. Bridgewater's a Band-Aid. Drew Lock has lost the confidence of a lot of people in the organization. Weren't you a little surprised the Broncos didn't get a dynamic quarterback?
I think sometimes their new general manager comes from Minnesota. Once upon a time, they drafted Teddy. Anyone that's been around with Teddy swears by him. But we have enough evidence. He's just average to below. You could find, like, why didn't they trade a second-round pick for Sam Darnold? Why didn't they just take Justin Fields? Like, Colin, if you met some other dude that had scouted in the NFL that's better than me, like, go to them. Like, why are you tied to the old? You know, who cares that you're around? No one cares anymore. We have evidence. It's over.
Teddy Bridgewater's never thrown for more than 15 touchdowns. John is a scout. Mahomes, Derek Carr, and Herbert in your division. I mean, to me, I mean, I talked to Bill Polian about this. He goes, listen, man, once we got Peyton Manning, the rest of our division, they were drafting pass rushers. I mean, Brady, if you go, remember Mario Williams, Buffalo paid a ton for Mario Williams. Why? To get Tom Brady. You have to look at your division. I mean, I just, the Denver, and I think to your point, Matt Nagy with Justin Fields, Trey Lance with Shanahan, Urban's got Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones to Belichick. There's a strong likelihood those four kids flourish And Denver looks idiotic in a year from now.
Yeah, and they clearly don't like Drew Lock. They took him in the second round. You didn't draft him in the top 10. Who cares? Like, to bring in, to me, Teddy Bridgewater, a Band-Aid, who we've seen as a starter. He's just not good enough. Like, if he has to start two or three games, like he did the other last year with the Saints, or 2 years ago when Brees hurt his thumb. Yeah, if your team's stacked. Well, you have a flawed roster. Now, to me, where I could understand it, do they end up with Rodgers? If they do, then I would understand passing on. Do they think right now that they have a good chance with Rodgers? The hard part, though, I go back to, like, if you're the Packers, okay, I give you Rodgers and you give me three ones and a player. Your ones are immediately good because you're going to win with him. So a future one, when I give you Rodgers, I had a buddy in the league I was talking to before the draft. He said, people underrate the Broncos' offensive line's now really good, and they got skill guys everywhere. Their problem is a quarterback. Drew Lock's a disaster. But if you put Rodgers on them, their offense is big time, and Fangio's a great defensive coordinator, they'd be in pretty good shape. So find the Packers, like, I'm going to trade you to Rodgers, he'll just make the playoffs, and then my picks are in the 20s. What good does that do me, right?
Okay, so let's pivot to this. So Aaron Rodgers apparently has three teams, San Francisco, Denver, and the Raiders he would go to. Those are the three. So let's talk about that. So this is the story of the day. Now, it was kind of buried in the draft coverage. Yeah. Roger Goodell doesn't want the networks talking Aaron Rodgers during the draft. So let's now address that. So these phone calls that San Francisco made to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers took, they're going to take these calls in a year, regardless of what Aaron does because of the Jordan Love pick and because he's the NFL's biggest salary hit. So Denver's fascinating to me. You'd get him over in the AFC. You probably not only get him over to the AFC, but with Mahomes and Herbert, and you know, there's no guarantee he wins the AFC every year and becomes a demon and you face him. So I look at it and I think to myself, if you're Green Bay and Denver gives you one of their receivers, they're pretty stacked at wide receiver. And they give you, let me ask, you're the GM of Green Bay. I give you a receiver. I'd give you Judy from last year.
So you're just saying my quarterback moving forward is Jordan Love? If I'm Green Bay?
Well, you drafted him. You better have confidence in him.
Well, this is where, and I get why they don't want to trade him to the 49ers, but the 49ers are offering you, hey, we'll give you George Kittle, the third pick, and next year's two. Like, if you like one of these quarterbacks, you could pivot off Jordan Love, start fresh with a Trey Lance. If Kyle Shanahan likes him, he's going to work in your offense. And this gets back to wherever you trade him, it's going to be these future ones. And we see it with Jalen Ramsey. We see it with Jamal Adams. Those guys end up going to playoff teams, and those picks end up in the 20s. And those guys get picked in the top five. Like, Aaron Rodgers is an elite player, obviously the MVP of the league. But you trade him to a team, that team immediately becomes good. So you trade him to Denver, like, what do I want to do with pick 25 the next 2 years, right? Or whatever number ones. And as a team, I can't give you three number ones for a 38-year-old quarterback.
Right.
So it's a tough spot who also is going to want pretty big cash. It's a slippery. Now he's Aaron Rodgers, but he's going to be 38 this year. That's where I thought I get, like, the Packers fans would have freaked if you sent him to the 49ers. But you can just say, hey, we got Trey Lance, who they were going to take. He's going to be our star young quarterback. And maybe you start Jordan Love for a year, then you can flip him. Like, you do have some options, and maybe you ask for a player and get a couple other picks. That number three overall pick, right, I hear they don't have any ones. Well, the third overall pick, isn't that more than two picks in the 20s from the Denver Broncos? We just saw what it took the Niners to get the third overall pick. It took 12 and two other ones. Like, the third overall pick, if you like a quarterback, is pretty valuable. Now, in fairness to Gutekunst, a lot was going on in a short period of time.
Right,
it's hard to make a life change. Because if you do trade him tonight, you're basically on the clock. You get fired in 3 years if it all disintegrates, right? Which easily could happen. Rodgers came out scorched earth on him. And in fairness, you and I talked about this earlier today. They did draft Jordan Love. They created this. If they had taken Brandon Ayuk last year, and they had the same season, but Aaron was happier from the jump. Are they in this predicament right now with Rodgers? I don't know. I think Jordan Love created his anger from the jump, right, a year ago.
Yeah, this is great stuff. All right, we're going to wrap it up. We got to go to bed.
Yeah, we do.
John, this is great. Follow us, by the way, at The Volume Sports on Twitter and Instagram. Rate, review, and subscribe. Appreciate it, John.
Night, Colin.
Volume.